Here we go on a Thursday. Lots of news to get to. Let's get Tom in here. Tom, hey! Happy New Year. Oh, yeah. No, we're over the hump.
What? I just wish you Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, too.
Happy New Year! Ah, just the fast pace of news that everybody demands. As soon as I get my computer to work. I said, this is the fast pace of news that everybody demands.
Hey, I'm already here.
Thing. Hang on.
Let me tell you about the traffic.
I mentioned the fast pace. Show's moving faster than the computer.
Hey,
Stelly.
Hey, I'm here for my Venmo $5.
I'll do that right now.
Yes, but no, I'm not taking your money. Yeah, I wanted to set the table for you guys. We've dialed up extra traffic. Emery's going to be joining you guys at 15 and most likely 45 this hour because we've got a couple issues. One, the weather has caused an hour backup on I-5 southbound. We haven't had really any crashes on southbound 5 today, but it's
southbound where, though?
From basically Everett to downtown Seattle is running 2 hours right now, just volume and the weather conditions. But the one real unusual thing, we have a lot of listeners that live down and work down in that span. In the Spanaway area, Pierce County, and somebody took out a couple of power poles last night in an accident, and that whole area in Spanaway is dark, which means the major and one and only route, really, to get you out of the Spanaway area up towards Highway 512 and into Tacoma is Highway 7, Pacific Avenue, and it's dark. All the signals have been out all morning long, so you haven't been moving at all in the northbound direction, so we've just dialed up extra traffic to keep you aware that a lot of the other north souths in that same area, people thought they'd be smart and go Spanaway Loop Road, which is a little tiny road that goes on the west side of Spanaway Lake there between that and JBLM. It hasn't moved in hours, it doesn't seem like. So that's why we've dialed up some extra traffic, so I just thought I'd kind of set the table for Emery for you.
Okay, so that'll be a problem in Spanaway. The weather, I hear, is supposed to be getting warmer.
Yeah, it's supposed to be clearer this afternoon, so I'm hoping it'll but it's just going to take it a lot of extra time for that I-5 southbound drive to clean out, probably till like 10 o'clock.
Weather-related?
A lot of volume. A lot of people are probably starting to get me, you know, maybe people who took a couple days more after the holiday this week. We're back to a full-on commute today. So that combined with the weather conditions, that's what we got.
Okay. Thanks, Sully. Got it. Got to feed the traffic beast, Tom.
That's right.
By the way, secretly, Tom, myself, I don't know how Jacob is anymore. He's not even, like, physically, mentally
he's
not here.
He's a specter right now. He's so thin.
We like traffic. We like traffic. We like traffic jams. We like people stuck in traffic. We don't like anything regarding anybody being hurt. We just like slowdowns.
So they're stuck listening to us.
They feed the... They
I can hear people clicking
bulldogs.
Us off right now. Hey, screw you, everybody. Curly.
But if you're in Federal Way made it harder to evict renters without good cause, and the entire state might do the same. So this is a piece in the in Crosscut, and it goes back to the story of whether or not the person who owns the property can get the person out of the unit in a timely manner to keep everybody safe, or at least to allow the landlord to continue to have money coming in for the property.
That's
that he
right.
Owned.
So right now, you can, if you're a landlord, you can evict somebody with 20-day notice without any justification. And so the Federal Way law, which is joined in with Burien and Seattle, which is a long ago law, which has a couple of major loopholes, they seem to think that this is a movement afoot that will gain traction in this coming legislative session. Uh-huh. And why is that? I was thinking that this is interesting because it died in committee last year. Why now? There has been such a push about things like affordable housing and tenants' rights that right now the Republicans might even come along. There are Republican objections as usual, but they might come along as a way to that's a priority we can grant rather than do something more drastic like rent control. Mm-hmm. So this might be like a smaller piece of the pie that they might be willing to give up. Also, the Democrats are in the majorities in Olympia, but right now they think that this one has more justification for it. There are it's 23 other states. It's not like we are leading the nation on this particular. There are 23 other states that have already said you need to have good cause, just cause. You just need to explain it. Right now, the only way landlords are restricted is that they can't do it for discriminatory purposes.
Sure.
However, if you operate by the 20-day rule that says, well, I don't have to give you any reason, they can use that as a cover, and you don't know if mm-hmm. it's discriminatory or not.
Yeah.
So anyway, this it seems like kind of corrective legislation.
So Seattle has it right now that you have to give cause as to why you're kicking the person out.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So Federal Way wants it as well, and it might end up going over the whole state.
Federal Way and Burien done it, and they say now there's momentum.
Okay.
But by the way, I mentioned the loophole in Seattle. Seattle passed in 1980. I mean, like, you know, 100 years ago by legislative terms. But what they say is it only applies to people that are doing it monthly, doing a monthly rental. Mm-hmm. And so the loophole that landlords have figured out in Seattle, apparently, according to the people that want this legislation to be updated in Seattle, is that they then force their monthly rentals to sign leases, and then they can get rid of them in 20 days.
I got it.
Without cause. Okay.
All right. So let's see. Yesterday there was a briefing that was held, and Mike Lee, who from Utah, who is a good patriotic American. What does Sean Hannity say? Something good American or...
whatever.
That's a ridiculous thing.
A red-blooded American. Red stater.
Yeah, so Lee comes out, so does Rand Paul. And it's so funny. It's like, okay, Mike Lee doesn't complain about a lot of stuff.
Right.
Okay. Rand Paul's always, wah.
Yeah.
You knocked me off my lawnmower. Broke my rib. Okay.
Well, you know, like a typical libertarian. That's what Rand Paul is.
Yeah.
Paul is an in-your-face libertarian with a capital L. And he is not big on foreign involvement.
But he's so busy standing there screaming at the train going by on the platform. Then after all, like, oh, who's that crazy guy?
Yeah, okay. But nobody listens to him.
No one listens
but
to
Mike Lee.
Because Mike Lee doesn't yell at trains that often. So
right.
Mike Lee comes out talking about the briefing that he was given. Because what they're trying to find out is, you said there was an imminent danger,
yeah.
Right? That there was some attack on the books that was coming our way.
That's right.
Okay, because that allows the president to bypass having to tell Congress. This is the same thing when Obama wanted to kill Gaddafi. It's the same thing that we went into Libya. We dropped bombs on those people. We do it all the time. This goes back to something they passed in 2002, which basically said you have this sort of open gift card of bombs that you can drop on anybody you want without having to come to us.
And basically, we gave permission to go after Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
Yes.
And the justification for this was, this was still in Iraq.
Still there.
So 20 years ago, that was a good clearance. Thank you, Congress, from 20 years ago.
Yeah, this is like a loan I gave to my daughter. I keep giving it to her over and over again. Okay, so Lee comes out, and again, Rand Paul standing next to him, and Lee says,
probably the worst briefing I've seen, at least on a military issue, in the 9 years I've served in the United States Senate. What I found so distressing about that briefing was that one of the messages we received from the briefers was, do not debate, do not discuss the issue of the appropriateness of further military intervention against Iran. And that if you do, you'll be emboldening Iran. The implication being that we would somehow be making America less safe by having a debate or a discussion about the appropriateness of further military involvement against the government of Iran. I find this insulting and demeaning.
Yeah. Okay. He also said that sophomoric, or somebody described the briefing as sophomoric, and they pushed back on a bunch of different things. And Lee had to try to kind of catch himself. He started to say, well, I'm going to get bad information because I could be disclosing too much.
Yes. The problem is the Trump administration went out and said, here's our justification for killing Soleimani.
Right.
He had this thing planned and it was imminent.
Right.
And now more and more people are backing off that and saying, it wasn't that imminent. Basically, there was no different plans that he had now than he'd had for like the last 5 years.
He's got a bunch
years.
Of them. Like,
yes.
He likes to terrorize people.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, why do we go after him then? They felt like they needed a justification, and it sounds like the justification was bogus.
Yeah.
At this point, they're not giving, as I think Rand Paul, I don't know if we have a Rand Paul clip, but he said,
Okay, here's your Rand Paul thing. Okay. Let's go back to this. So Lindsey Graham didn't have any problem with the briefing. He said,
I think made a compelling case. They have all the legal authority they need to hit Soleimani, who was any belligerent by any definition of the law, that if we hadn't done something and Americans had been killed, all these people would be tarred and feathered. So they thought that a war powers debate might send the wrong signal to the Iranians. I think they're right. They didn't say you can't debate. I think they're overreacting, quite frankly. Go debate all you want to. I'm going to debate you. Trust me. I'm going to let people know that at this moment in time, to play this game with the Poor War Powers Act, which I think is unconstitutional, is that whether you mean to or not, you're empowering the enemy.
What they felt was that there was slow escalation. They, the Pentagon, the
Trump
defense,
the
four people that haven't quit the Trump administration in defense, they're like, hey, we see a slow escalation. You guys keep moving further and further up. It seems like you're taunting us in some regard to keep seeing if we are the paper horse that we were being described by Bin Laden referred to us as. So the question is that do we whack him at some point, and who do we whack him? What are we trying to do to make to sort of clear signal that we can find you, we can kill you with a drone, you can't hide from us, so please stop trying to ratchet this thing up. That's kind of, I think, what the thinking was on this.
Yes, but then why lie about it and say, oh, we had to intervene right then because they were going to do something if there's no information that says that? And what the senators are frustrated about, I understand, we are the great unwashed. We don't know. We don't have access to this stuff.
Come on.
But
come
the
on.
Senators, well, you and I know. I'm talking about the rest of the great unwashed. But the senators are mad because the senators are when they're supposed to be briefed. Okay, this is really why we did it, and this is what I thought you might play from Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
Okay,
responding to Graham.
I love my country as much as the next guy, but for him to insult and say that somehow we're not as patriotic as he is, he hasn't even read the history of the Constitution. The Constitution specifically says that the war-making power resides in Congress. He believes in this unitary theory of the executive that presidents can do whatever they want. The only way you can stop them is by defunding a war. That's not what our founding fathers said. It's not what the Constitution says. And he insults the Constitution, our founding fathers, and what we do stand for in this republic by making light of it and accusing people of lacking patriotism. I think that's a low gutter type of response.
Okay, that's not, yeah, so that's fine. That's debating whether the president has
the
authority to do all this. But earlier, his complaint about the briefing, much like Mike Lee's was, he says, they didn't tell us anything that I hadn't already read in the newspapers.
Yeah.
We are supposed to be the ones that they're informing. They're telling us, you know, in effect, state secrets.
Give us the inside scoop.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the big story that's going to dominate the news for the next 24 hours, the Ukrainian airline with 180 passengers on board shot down.
Yes.
Right? Now the videos start coming out. And you can see the thing was on fire. Apparently, it started to turn around. It's on fire. And some reports are now saying there's shrapnel or something along the wings. And I forget who it is, the Dutch, they're heading over there because they're experts in these sorts of things.
Oh, I didn't know. You mean, so they are allowing outside influence.
Right. I just heard Dutch can go anywhere they want.
And apparently already have. So what's happening here now, it'll be interesting to see if the Iranians really do finally admit to this.
Yeah.
Because they immediately said there was mechanical failure or something. I said, how can you decide that? It was blown out of the sky just a few hours ago. You couldn't possibly know that. Well, you couldn't possibly know that early if it's a cover story. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, yesterday we were saying, yeah, there was some speculation it was shut down. What value? Why would they want to shoot that down from their
mistake.
Own? Yeah, but now it comes out. They think they shot it down because it was a mistake. And if how could they make a mistake? If it was on, they said that the plane was turning around like it was on fire. I don't know if that could have been before it was hit, but it might have been mistaken as a missile. Mm-hmm. If they just shoot off missiles and they could have said, hey, something is coming toward the Tehran airport, maybe it's a huge, you know, blunder on the Iranians' part, if they really did shoot down. And why is poor Ukrainian airspace, the last one was shot down? They've got bad luck.
They did ask Trump about this, if he wanted to hear him real quick.
Yeah.
What did he say? Look at Jacob producing on the fly.
The plane went down, what did they happen to that?
Well, I have my suspicions. It was very, I don't want to say that, because other people have those suspicions also. It's a tragic thing when I see that. It's a tragic thing. But somebody could have made a mistake on the other side, could have made a mistake. It was flying. It was flying in not our system. No, it has nothing to do with us. It was flying in a pretty rough neighborhood, and somebody could have made a mistake. Some people say it was mechanical. I personally don't think that's even a question, personally. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't want to get that's up to them. At some point, they'll release the black box. Ideally, they'd get it to Boeing, but if they gave it to France or if they gave it to some other country, that would be okay, too. I think, you know, ideally that will be released. I have a feeling that it's just some very terrible, something very terrible happened.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Thank you, Jacob, for that.
Yes, that's right. What would the segment been without that cut? A rough neighborhood?
Well, look where it's flying out of. Seriously, well, we're in there bombing the place.
They're not shooting missiles back. This is in Iran. No, we bombed.
It's not the best area.
What do you mean? It's Tehran. We're 2 minutes out of Tehran. It's a huge, major metropolitan.
Yeah, it's a rough neighborhood.
Metropolis. Rough neighborhood.
The strangest thing about this, and it's we're not laughing at the deaths, obviously. No. And Canada is very, very upset. They lost, I think,
50 people.
The thing is, it's like this kind of thing where, like, oops.
Yeah.
It's a mistake. It's just... So, what is it? MH17, when the Russians shot down the other one, it's like, didn't mean to. We overreacted. So it's one of these things. But no harm, no foul. But what are you going to sue? You're going to sue Iran?
Yeah.
Was it an act of war? No. Did we accidentally shoot it down just because we were, you know, on high alert? Or we were just lobbing missiles in and letting you know where you're going to send missiles in? Yeah, it's just tragic all around.
It made no sense that plane went
down. The president
said
so artfully. It's just a terrible thing.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, it's... All the people that we were concerned, this confrontation between Iran and Iraq was over the death of one American contractor, and then there was the response, and we're on the brink of war. The biggest casualties of this were these poor 200 people that were just flying to Kiev.
Really, on the brink of war?
Well, that was you weren't here on Friday when this thing first went down.
No, I saw all the people saying we're on the brink of war.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because no one knew what Iran's response would be.
Right.
So.
All right, come back. Twitter has changed the rules, and Jacob's going to have to explain to us how you can insult someone now on Twitter. It's going to be becoming a lot harder. It's good. They're trying to clean up their act. Plus, Facebook says there's a thing called deepfakes, and then there's other things that you can do. If you really work hard at it, they're not going to let you put it on. But if you just sort of.
If you're sloppy.
Yeah, sloppy. That's going to pass as humor. Right back. Keel Mortgage. Look at you over there, Keel Mortgage 1-888-77-AKIEL. Keel Mortgage, absolutely the best when it comes to anything having to do with a mortgage. The customer service is outstanding. I can tell you from personal experience, they get back to you lickety split. Keel Mortgage, thanks. Laura Keel, the rest of the gang over there, 1-888-77-AKIEL. All right, we have to go to the youngster on this one, Tom, because neither one of us, we both refuse to be involved in social media.
to a significant degree, yes, that's true. Twitter is changing its options to limit replies on Twitter. Right now, when somebody tweets something, apparently everybody can respond and everybody gets to see what those responses are.
Don't say apparently. It makes you seem really old.
Well, I was trying to accentuate the gulf between me, so that's why we have to throw it to this youngster.
Right. So, by the way, this announcement came out at the Consumer Electronics Show yesterday. Twitter has been losing about 100 million some people every last 6 years. They've been on a slide. So then they said, we're going to reinterpret how we consider to be our users. They also got rid of a lot of bots. And they're competing against Facebook, Instagram. TikTok is not competing necessarily. Snapchat is in there as well. It's all in the social media form. And Twitter has been sort of on a slow decline for a while. Part of the reason is because people say, well, it's just too vindictive. It becomes too nasty too fast, and then everybody's attacking one another. I heard G. Scott say yesterday that he's off of it because it's just too horrible a place to go. Right? Nobody wants to go there because you just get beaten up. So Twitter has decided they're going to change how we can communicate with one another, hopefully to stop all of the mean-spiritedness that can occur.
And they say they come up with a kind of an interesting middle ground. Instead of focusing on who has permission to see it, they're going to focus on the distribution of that. It's called narrowcasting, and they're going to come up with four different groupings, and this is about the point where I'm going to throw it to Jacob. But they global group panel and statement. Global lets anybody reply, so sort of like the way it is now.
Uh-huh.
If a group is for people you follow and mention,
right.
Panel is for people you specifically mention in a tweet, and statement allows you to post a tweet and receive IM replies only.
Okay, so give us the old way it used to be, Jacob. If I wanted to say something horrible about Tom, I would go on my Twitter account and I would say what?
I have to say, I don't know what you would say about Tom.
Tom is losing his hair at a rapid rate.
Okay. Well, you can still do that even under the new policy.
That's right.
Right. But if Tom tweets something and you want to be mean about it, it depends. Your ability to reply is dependent on Tom's decision about who he wants to hear from.
Okay, so he could take it off of group, meaning I don't want to hear from anybody.
Correct.
I tweet out something mean, but I say that I don't want to hear anybody's back. I don't want to hear anything come back.
Because my comeback would be, at least mine is real hair, not fake.
Right, and then I have to do # natural hair growing naturally, # from my own natural head. I think I've run out of characters. Okay, anyway, so...
What's changed?
Is it any better?
Well, we don't know yet. The policy is still... I haven't seen it enacted in any place yet.
That's right. They did a beta run-through, and they thought, okay, this is good. So this is in the works, is what they're announcing.
But I was speculating or trying to imagine what it would look like for me personally, if it would change how I use the platform at all. Oftentimes, when I see someone tweeting that I disagree with, for some reason they've shown up in my feed, I'll often click on the tweet to see what other people are saying. That's my way of interacting with it, and so that I can kind of understand, okay, I obviously understand where this guy's coming from. I see what he's written. What are some other people maybe that I follow or that I know have a different perspective that might be more in line with mine? What do they say about this? Okay. And that's how I navigate.
Make yourself feel better by going and finding other people that agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. So this might mitigate that in some way because it will allow them to not let the people that I want to hear from respond in line.
Okay.
However, I also understand that it might allow – the app has a lot of problems with people struggling with overwhelmed by trolls, and that there's people like Lindsay there was an SNL cast member who said that she dropped off because there's too many people that were
– Jones. Leslie Jones.
Right. Yeah. She dropped off. I can imagine that might help that type of person avoid some of these type of situations. But for the most part, personally, I feel like I am not a huge fan.
Twitter is an invitation to trolls, and if trolls are the bane of your existence, this is a nice way to have Twitter allow you to tweet without being victimized by trolls.
Don't you think it's just a matter of time that when you get on Twitter that someone is going to say something nasty? It's just a matter of how long it takes till somebody says something horrible to you?
Well, obviously. I mean, it doesn't have to be tweet. You can just put anything online.
Yeah,
I was my top 10 movies of 2019 came out, and somebody called me a toilet human. Not a human toilet, but a toilet human. I go, what? It's just a list of movies.
What is that, a toilet human?
I don't know. I kind of like it. It's playing with words.
Did you say anything?
You are a rude, terrible person.
No, everybody in my Northwest will come. What? You're not supposed to read those comments, Tom. That's terrible. It's the worst kind of people. I said, no, I like to see what people are thinking.
That's not thinking. Nancy Pelosi was a victim of somebody who took her speech that she had given and slowed it down.
We want to give this president
to make her sound like she's drunk.
Right. Do something historic.
Okay. She does have trouble pronouncing words.
We want to give this president the opportunity to do something historic for our country.
That's the normal speed.
I think you're confusing her with Trump. Yesterday,
no, I could
Trump,
play a bunch
Trump
of great cuts. But Facebook has decided, hey, we're not going to let you do deepfake. And deepfake is you can take video and you can take sound and you can actually make it look like the person is saying the words. It's coming out. You're watching this. Did Barack Obama say all that? That was the first one I saw.
Facebook,
well, you can't use that. That's way too sophisticated. And you can really fool people with that.
That's right. It uses AI. I mean, there's all sorts of high-end technology. Yeah. And so Facebook is very proud of themselves. Hey, we're not going to allow for those deep fakes.
Yeah.
And the rule of thumb supposedly is, what is your average consumer going to, you know, pick up from that? The odd thing about this and the critique of this. So I think, you know, bully for Facebook for banning deep fakes. The problem is they allow for something called cheap fakes, which is if you just use very simple software, like slowing down somebody's speech, then they say, well, yeah, anybody can do that, so we're not going to try to restrict that. We're only going for the high-level people. The problem is, I think they should be maybe looking at the impact. People are going to look at that and think she was. If you got a headline, you know, Nancy Pelosi intoxicated, you know, in front of the mics, and then play that tape, people think it's the real thing.
Just put a little comedy drama sticker next to it. It's comedy. Little guy shows up with a mask.
And that's the justification that Facebook has, is that they don't want it. It's just, this could interfere with this notion of satire involved. And so that's why they don't want it. But they said the problem is, if the idea is that you don't want to have people misinformed, mm-hmm. is this a legitimate response? Because right now, deep fakes are only for the people that are really into that kind of stuff. The average Joe who might send out wacky stuff, you know, uses cheap fakes and tricks people that way. That's just a discussion.
I got it. I don't really have it, but I hear music playing, so it means I have to stop talking.
Okay.
I've noticed I do this at home now. Music starts to play.
Yeah, you just wrap things up.
Just wrap things up, so you'll be right back. And people are like, where are you going? Oh, I forgot. Nowhere. We'll go back to the fact the economics of the unused gift cards. Get the gift card, and what I would like to do is give somebody a gift card, and if they don't use it within like a week, I get the money back on my account. Yeah, that would be better.
That, no one's going to go for that if you're a corporation.
Right back. State Roofing, thanks a lot for sponsoring the text line at 98973, 98973. That is the State Roofing text line. I was going to give Tom for Christmas a State Roofing gift certificate or a gift card.
Wow, that would be great.
For $50.
We need make that 50 grand and I can afford a couple of rooms.
State Roofing would come out to you. The survey that says that... Well, I'll hold back this little bit of news, because if I did this, it would completely just blow up this entire segment. So we'll go to the fact that the economics of unused gift cards, the number of gift cards given out at Christmas time in 2019 continues to rise every single year as people find that to be a more thoughtful gift than giving cash.
It's for the 13th straight year. It was the present of choice, the gift card. And also, so popular, 55, and this is certainly not true for me, but 55% of most people, the average shopper's annual gift budget is spent on gift cards.
So it's the choice of the giver, not the receiver.
Yes, exactly.
Because 50% of people would rather receive cash.
Yes.
29% would rather receive a gift card.
Yes. Well, a gift card, because it restricts you. Now, sometimes the giver wants to restrict you because they want you to spend, like if they want you to go do something, like a gym membership, or maybe you want your neighbor's carpets cleaned.
That was an anomaly.
I'll say this.
But if somebody gives you a $50 gift card, right?
Yeah.
But the thing you need to buy is $60.
Yeah.
And you got to get 50 plus the extra 60. The limiting aspect of it, it's in the benefit of the giver because the giver feels as if they are more thoughtful, that it took the time for them while standing in line at Starbucks to reach over and take the card and then put it on their credit card and give it to you. They feel like, oh, cash is so... Day class A.
Yeah, exactly.
But a gift card, like a little folded thing, that's really thoughtful.
That's funny. But every time I feel like I give a gift card, it's like, oh, I failed. Because if you really knew the person, you would give them, you would know them well enough to actually buy them a gift that would be kind of special. And it's like, oh, you know, and I'm sort of stuck. What do I get my niece or nephew if I'm really in a pinch? Well, the joke is they would rather have the cash or the gift card than the actual present I get them. Well, here's one promising thing. I'm surprised that 70% of all gift cards are redeemed within the first 6 months.
Okay.
That surprised me because I can't remember the last time I redeemed a gift card. I just sort of put them in a drawer. I forget or I never get around to it. And about 80% are eventually redeemed by the end of the year. But that means that there 20% are unredeemed. And if you look at in the last decade, there between 2005 and 2015, the last time we have numbers, $45.5 billion of gift cards were not turned in. People forget.
Retailers must love that.
It's crazy. Well, the thing is, the retailers say no. We actually like it because when you come and use your gift card, you end up buying more things and get in the habit of buying, even though they have benefited over the year. Starbucks alone last year benefited by $105 million just for unredeemed gift cards there.